For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulder, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So here we are, Christmas. Starting our celebration. And it's a, you know, I know that everybody's had their house decorated since Halloween and and you know, and everybody's been talking about the 12 days of Christmas, you know, all the salespeople. And they were lying to you. The 12 days of Christmas, you know, is only starting today. You know, Christmas is a 12-day feast. So I encourage you on the 26th not to put Christmas in the box. Yeah, I mean, if your tree's about ready to go, for all, you know, sure, get it out of your house, but I think this is the thing is we put so much emphasis on getting ready for Christmas that once it's here, it seems almost anticlimactic. We just, we make it all, it seems like about the getting there and not realizing that this is the most wonderful, this period from tonight until we get to January 6th to the Epiphany or the Feast of the Three Kings, when we celebrate this odd and wonderful event that happened so many years ago. This night when love came into the world. One of the things I love about our God is I think God has a great sense of humor, because instead of coming in the world, instead of his son coming into this great palace or being ushered in by, you know, heralds and trumpeters and all this in the kingdom, you have this baby who is literally born into the household of a real working class Joe. You know, this man, Joseph, who is, we're told, a carpenter, or, you know, the word that they use in the Bible can be taken as carpenter, kind of roofer, but, you know, we're not really talking about some fine cabinet maker as you always see in the pictures. What we're probably talking about is a guy who, probably got up, went to a construction site every day, and did basically whatever was needed to be done. You know, and then you had Mary, a young woman, probably 14, 15 years old. And now he couldn't even be born in his own house. They had to come all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And I'm thinking about what it must have been like for Joseph, you know, this newly wedded guy, you know, traveling with his young and pregnant wife. I mean, this would be scary enough, I think, you know, but, you know, then when your wife's also pregnant with the Son of God, you know, a little bit of added pressure there. And leaving their home in Nazareth and taking a multi, you know, day journey. Of course, we always see these pictures of Mary riding on a donkey, and maybe she did, maybe she didn't. We don't know. You know, it doesn't say that she rode on anything. More likely than not, being that they were working class, they probably, you know, hoofed it the whole way. And not knowing where they were going to stay. It wasn't like today we go online and go on Travelocity or Orbitz. You know, maybe hit Kayak to see what our best price is going to be. It wasn't like you could call an 800 number. You just had to hope that when you got there, there was going to be a place for you. And they were probably feeling pretty lucky that they were able to go at least into the barn. And I can't imagine what it must have been like when Mary found out that she was going to give birth and it was inside a barn. You know, no matter how nice they are, barns are dusty. and they usually don't smell good. But the one advantage is that they're generally warm. It's probably one of the warmest places in town. And this is the place where the King of Kings, the wonderful counselor, is born in this very rude and rugged condition. And you know, the wonderful thing is, it isn't, you know, kings and courtiers and such that are even told about it. We're told that God sends the message first to shepherds, who are often looked at questionably back then, because you had this group of guys who are basically out in the fields all the time. So they're a little, you know, held a little suspect because, you know, they they're kind of loners. They're not the type of people who hang out in town. And, you know, most of them aren't the kind of people you're going to see inside the temple all the time because they're busy watching sheep. So they can't, like, come, you know, you can't, like, leave your church. You can't, like, leave your sheep alone and come in and go to church. So you have this group of people that, you know, so if you look at the whole story of the Bible, you know, the whole story of the birth of Jesus, you know, in some ways it looks like it can be just this one big kind of ha-ha on God's part, because everybody was suspecting the Savior to come, the Messiah, as this great king. And here he is, this baby born within a poor working class family, and not even the wealthy or the powerful are even given the benefit of being the first ones told. See, this is one thing about our God, is that our God doesn't work the way we expect God to work. He doesn't follow our conventions. He does what needs to be done, not what we think should be done. So on that wonderful night, so many years ago, love comes into the world. Not by a powerful king, but through a small baby. And that love continues. Each year, yes, we celebrate this great feast day of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, the 12 days of Christmas. But that night, the love that came to the world, Christmas, is something that should be an all time, it should happen all the time. The spirit of love, this generosity, this wonder that comes this time of year, it's not meant for one night. It's not meant for 12 days. It's meant for always. You know, we always talk about Easter being every day and every service. Well, we're an incarnational church. We're a church that is built on God made man. So Christmas is one of those events that should be a continuous act, a continuous feeling in our lives as Christians. And we share Christmas by sharing the love that came that night. Sometimes it's quite direct. Sometimes it's in an indirect way. Sometimes we share that love by our generosity of giving, you know, taking care of those people in need. At other times, it can be just as simple as smiling and saying hello to a clerk at a store. Love is a very powerful thing. But the wonderful thing about love is that it can be shown and given in so many little ways. It doesn't take grand acts, as God showed us in today's gospel. I mean, the most significant thing to happen in our history, the birth of Christ, if you look at it, it was so very low key. And that's the wonderful thing about love. It doesn't have to be this big drum and fife and trumpets. It's in the little acts. And that's how we continue Christmas throughout the year. You know, eventually, yes, we need to take the decorations down. Well, at least I do. But Christmas isn't in what we put up. It's always here. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you, as you go out from the church tonight, that you take this wonder, this love, this Christmas into the world, to share it with others, not just in the next few days, but always. We're loved. But the price of that love is that we are called to share it with other people. And as we all know, that love never, the more we share love, instead of diminishing, it just grows. So my sisters and brothers, take Christmas outside the church. Share it with others. Be the love that came into the world.